This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Chinese New Year is just around the corner, and celebrations will be taking place all along the Central Coast. But you may be thinking that the Central Coast isn't really home to a thriving Chinese community. Well, consider this. In the 1830s to 40s, gold rushers came from the East Coast and relied on foreign laborers for certain jobs, among whom were the Chinese. By 1852, there were more than 25,000 Chinese, or about 10% of California's population at the time. Chinese laborers were the main workforce for building the new Transcontinental Railway from the West, and because two railroads converged in the county, San Luis Obispo had the largest Chinese community in California by 1870. Palm Street in San Luis Obispo became Chinatown and flourished until 1950. The only remaining Chinese historical landmark in California present in this area is the Ah Louis store on Palm Street. But what about the Chinese community today? Shirley moved to Pismo Beach about a year ago, but she is originally from Shanghai.
So I moved here before 1 year. I think, wow, this small city, how I can find the Chinese people. But one day we are Sweetie Cup. Yeah, Sweetie Cup. Chinese were there. So I walk inside, talk to the boss is Chinese.
Oh.
Yeah, so he gave me the Chinese group, like Facebook. 100 people there. So, wow, now I know it's very good friend there. They are very nice people. It's very good.
There is even an Asian market in San Luis Obispo, not in Chinatown, but selling authentic Chinese foodstuffs, which got me thinking about playing with pot stickers. Shirley taught me how to make wontons, but first, Fanny Gao, who runs the Asian market, taught me how to make gyoza, or in Chinese cuisine, pot stickers.
My name's Fanny Gao. We're making gyoza, pork gyoza.
There's a lot of little jars here, and then there's this bag of, like, dried things. What are those?
Those are shiitake mushrooms. Those are what you use in making gyoza or making any type of soup. My husband's family is actually Chinese, and they often make this. So Chinese make what they consider the pot sticker.
This is like a Chinese pot sticker, but sometimes called gyoza.
Well, we need to boil water to boil the cabbage, which is going to go inside the gyoza.
Okay, I can boil water. I can do that. How about that?
Yes. And we're doing it so it softens up, and we can incorporate that in our mix. For the gyoza, we're going to do pork, ginger, garlic, and cabbage, and the shiitake mushroom.
Do you need to fry anything?
Everything's going to be mixed. The only thing we're doing is we're going to blanch the cabbage in the hot water.
Oh, so everything goes in raw?
Yes. And then we're going to pan fry with sesame oil, and then add water to kind of steam the gyoza, and then pan fry and get that gold color on the outside.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait. So now we have got some garlic.
Yes, we're going to mince the garlic, and we're going to mince the ginger, and that's going to go all inside of the gyoza. Now we're going to mince our green onion.
So we've got about 2 cups of shredded cabbage, 2 tablespoons of garlic, and 1 tablespoon of ginger. How many gyoza do you think this will make?
Up to like 30 gyoza.
Oh my gosh. So cabbage goes into the boiling water.
See, it's softening up now. And this is the same way that my mother-in-law blanches the cabbage for her egg rolls.
Really?
Yes, I haven't made egg rolls before, but that's next on my list. She will teach me how to make those. Now we're just gonna take this out and then mix all of our ingredients together.
Cabbage, ground pork.
Yes. Now we add our green onion and our ginger and our garlic. Then we're gonna mix all of that together.
That looks super, super simple.
Yes. Okay, and then we wanna add some sesame oil in.
Just a little bit, that was
just about a little bit.
A teaspoon.
Maybe 1/4 of a teaspoon.
Oh wow, okay.
Okay, and maybe a little bit of soy sauce.
So I'm noticing that it's not a lot of extra flavors going in. You're relying on the flavors of the fresh ingredients.
Yes.
It's really about being able to self-season with the dipping. Is that the idea?
Yes. And then we're going to pan fry with the sesame oil. That's why I don't want to add a lot of it.
Everything should be pan fried with sesame oil.
It smells so good.
So the mushrooms, these shiitake mushrooms.
Yeah. And they're dehydrated.
Oh, gosh, they're really crunchy.
Yes. To make the gyoza wrapper, we're going to boil water and then mix flour. Go ahead and measure 2 cups of flour, 1/2 cup of water, like a pinch of salt, and then we're going to start mixing.
Okay, what about the cornstarch?
The cornstarch we're going to use so the dough doesn't dry out. So we're going to use it once we roll it out, and we're going to make like 2 little logs. We're going to sprinkle it so it doesn't dry out, and we can start rolling it after 30 minutes.
Okay, there's 2 cups of flour. You said 1/2 cup of this boiling water.
So we're just going to mix this, and then we're going to roll it out. And then all of this is going to come together.
It looks pretty dry.
Yeah, we're going to need a little bit more water. And we just want all the dough to stick together so we can roll it out.
The dough, you want it to be stiff but not dry, it looks yes. like, and definitely not sticky.
No.
So do you knead it until it's smooth like you would do with bread dough?
Yes. We're going to let it sit, and then we're going to roll it out so you want them to be really smooth.
So we don't have a rolling pin, but we have a straight-edged bottle, straight-sided bottle that would work really well. So just wash that off. So you cut the dough in half.
Yes. We're going to roll it into a little log, and you're supposed to let it sit for about 30 minutes. And then we slice it in little pieces, and then that's when we roll out for the wrappers.
We let it sit for 1/2 hour. Mm-hmm. We slice it.
Yes.
And then we roll it out. How thin do you roll it out?
You want them pretty thin. What I usually use is a mason jar lid to get the perfect circles.
So in the interest of time, we're going to use the wrappers that you brought from the store.
Yes.
You can show me what probably is the hardest part.
This is probably the easiest part to me.
Really? The filling was pretty easy. Come on.
Yes.
Those are super, super thin.
Yes.
Paper thin.
Mm-hmm. And see, they're covered in what I'm assuming this is potato starch.
Okay. And it keeps them from sticking, obviously, because yes. you've got this. I mean, they are as thin as a sheet of paper.
Yeah. So we're going to get one of the wrappers. Just grab 1 tablespoon and then some water with your fingertips all around the pot sticker wrapper. We're going to connect it and we seal it. And what I use is a fork to create the markings.
Oh, wow. So your first one you did as a demonstration, mm-hmm. and you went slowly. And your second one, it was like one swift motion. Wrapper in the palm, nugget of filling, finger of water around the edge, and then you just folded it.
Yeah.
And you're done. That's amazing. Can I try?
Yes.
Okay. You made it look easy. This is the problem. So I put it in my palm.
Yes.
And then I take a nugget of filling. All the way around?
All the way around.
With water?
Yes.
Okay, and then I crimp it?
And then
I've actually never ever done this activity before, ever.
Really? It's fun. My daughter really likes to make them with me. You want to seal it all the way so then the water won't get inside.
Okay.
Because if the water gets inside, then it's going to open up as we're
turn all soggy and gross. Mm-hmm.
So with the fork, you're just going to press it down with your finger. It just creates the marking instead of me doing the folding. The folding is too hard for me.
Does your mother-in-law do the
folding? She knows how to do the folding. And see, I make these for lunch sometimes for my daughter. The pan frying and the steaming, it doesn't take very long.
Most of the restaurants on the Central Coast, do you think they make them by hand or do they buy the frozen stuff?
No, they make it by hand.
So you've never tried to do this with like chili Colorado or chili verde?
No, I haven't tried that. But I feel like I want to start trying new recipes.
Maybe that's our next show together. So we put a little bit, a teaspoon?
Of sesame oil.
Of sesame and another teaspoon of canola. So you don't want a lot of oil. Basically, the oil is to give the flavor and prevent them from sticking.
Yes. So we're going to pan fry them first. So that's going to cook the inside of your pot sticker. And then we're going to add water to steam them and we're going to cover them.
Okay, so you just be patient with them? Is that the key?
Yes. At school, they would say, the food will talk to you. Once it starts sizzling at the bottom and browning, that's when you want to turn them over. You'll hear it.
So they're just lightly browned on the bottom and when you turn them over?
Okay, now we're going to add the water. Steam a little bit.
We're doing this in preparation for Chinese New Year. You said your husband's and his family are Chinese.
His mom is actually from Cambodia, which is actually where they are vacationing right now. And his father's family is from Thailand.
But they consider themselves ethnically Chinese.
Yes, that's okay. Where they lived. They actually have been in slow, I want to say, for over 30, maybe 35 years. I don't think that there was a lot of Asian population here in San Luis Obispo when they first opened. I know that it was a lot slower than it is now back when they first opened their market. Slowly, with all the Cal Poly students, traffic has definitely picked up. Also, there's a lot of people who are now interested in Asian dishes and always come in and ask, you know, for different types of recipes, such as curry or maybe pho, tam yam soup, and even gyoza sometimes. The dipping sauce is really easy. Just add soy sauce and rice vinegar, and I like to do it with chili.
How much of each?
1 tablespoon of each. I don't really measure, I just pour and taste.
Okay, I'll make that. Okay, so there's our little sauce, and there's our little serving tray. Okay, are you ready? So we'll pick one up with a fork because I don't have any chopsticks.
Oh, that's really hot.
It's really hot. It just came off the stove. Your filling is so simple. You can taste all the flavors and it's really nice. I think one of the things that we make a mistake about, we think we need to put all of the flavors in the meat. And here, you kept the inside simple. Mm-hmm. And so you can taste all the flavors that you put in the meat. And you can still give it extra flavor with the sauce. Mm-hmm.
Did you put chili in there?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't spicy enough.
You said only a couple drops.
It's really hard, yes.
But really good. Really simple.
Yes. See, I try to make them just watching my mother-in-law. But I didn't know, for example, that I needed to boil cabbage in order to soften it up. It releases a lot of its flavor. I would just throw stuff together and wonder why it didn't taste the same. You know, I've been with my family now for 12 years. So now I've picked up tricks that she has here and there. And I've learned kind of to cook like her, where I don't measure things as much. And I just go by the flavor because I've had it for so long.
Someone who picked up her tricks for cooking Chinese food as a child is Shirley from Shanghai. When I stepped into her kitchen in Pismo Beach to learn how to make Shanghai wontons, it was like a food TV production crew had been there all day. Everything was prepped in 4 different stages and ready to go.
I'm Shirley, just moving here about 1 year from Singapore this time, before in San Francisco. I'm from Shanghai, China. I want to make wonton. The wonton, English say dumpling. In China, it's very huge, big country. There are a little bit different area. It's northeast. The north area, they are dumpling different east.
So the north is different than the east?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shanghai is east. Today, I want to make Shanghai wonton. Bak choy, moku.
Moku? Yeah. So those are, is that a type of
mushroom? Pork.
Pork.
Shrimp and tofu.
Tofu. Shrimp tofu. And tofu. Okay.
Yeah. The bok choy, need a cleaning, water.
So you boil the bok choy here.
Yeah, boil the bok choy. Clean them. And
so everything eventually gets chopped up. And you've prepared this all here. So you got the ingredients as you buy them in the store here.
Yeah.
And then the next plate got the boiled bok choy. Yeah. You got chopped up tofu.
Tofu, yeah.
And then the next plate, everything's chopped up. Really small and really fine.
Small.
Because you're going to put all of those ingredients in something the size of a walnut.
Yeah, I show you another one.
Okay.
One egg, oil.
So there we've got everything mixed together.
Yeah.
The mushrooms, the bok choy,
yeah.
A little bit of pork, some shrimp, and some
tofu.
Yeah. With egg and oil.
Yeah.
The filling and the wrapping was somewhat similar to Fanny's pot stickers, but there was a slight twist.
Take a piece and put the middle.
Okay, and just a dollop there in the middle.
Put a little bit of water around it.
You draw a circle around.
Yeah, circle
that with water.
The water there.
Okay, this is going to be the hard part. How do you fold it now?
Then half done. Finger, tap. That's the together. That's there together.
Okay, so you fold it in half, but it's kind of got like a moon shape at the in the middle of it.
Yeah. Let's that in the middle. Then turn that.
Okay.
And air there. Put the 2 ears together.
So they're like ears, and you put the 2 ears together.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just that.
So you folded it in half,
and
then you folded it in half the same direction again,
yeah.
And then you brought the two open ends together.
I always wondered how that worked.
Yeah, just that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
The process of cooking wontons was very similar to the pot stickers. After all, they are very similar dishes. Shirley showed me two preparations. She parboiled a few and then fried them in a little bit of oil. For the others, she made them into wonton soup by boiling the wontons, draining them, and then adding some hot vegetable stock and garnished with chopped green onions. Very simple, and like Fanny's, fresh and not laden with sauces. Shirley assured me that there are no set ingredients and that different combinations of fresh foods can be used for the wonton fillings. She was pretty adamant, though, about the importance of living the seasons.
The Shanghai wonton, usually they follow the season. Here, it's just a bok choy. Sometimes in Shanghai, there are more different seasons, so you can follow the different season, use the different...
You always use seasonal ingredients.
Yeah.
It's not always the same, like, every time.
Okay. Yeah. In China culture, people is from nature. Your body need to follow the nature. Food grew up the land.
The food comes from the land.
Yes. Everybody gets the health for the body.
That is something that we've lost in the West.
Yeah.
Our health comes from the land. The land has the nutrients for our body, so eat seasonal.
Yes, but now more people say, I like a strawberry. Okay, so 1 year, 4 seasons, they're always.
Yeah, so live off the land.
Yeah.
That's really good lesson that we need to relearn. Yeah.
And of course, Shirley's wontons were just as delicious as Fanny's pot stickers.
So your simple broth on your wontons with your green onion. And then in the other dish, you've got the fried wonton with a little dish of rice vinegar. And do I get to taste them?
Yes, okay. Now you can take them.
So this is a fried wonton. Oh, too many there. Fried wonton just dipped in the rice vinegar. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've not done this before.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Really nice. Like you were saying, you don't put a lot of extra junk in there. You just put the fresh ingredients, and then you can taste all the fresh ingredients, right? And so this is the boiled wontons, and it's the exact same filling, exact same everything, except it's in this vegetable broth. The question is it too hot to do in one bite?
Yeah.
Mmm. It's delicious. I think both of them, you can taste equally the fresh ingredients inside.
Oh.
I'm inclined to go with something that's been browned in oil in a pan, but this is just as delicious. It's absolutely delicious. And it was really simple. It's really fresh.
Delicious food. And the best aspect of food is, of course, those with whom you share it.
How often do you have wontons?
So for me, so my daughter coming, some special day. Usually I make more favorite.
So it's still a special thing for you.
Yeah, yes.
And so you're doing this special thing for me. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so one time it's good words, like the together.
It's about being together.
Everybody together. I remember before, like grandma say, the story is the outside is like home. The inside is everybody. Everybody together.
The wonton on the outside, the wrapper is the home, and the filling is everybody together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah, the story. So every New Year, the culture is everybody back home.
Everybody's back home at New Year.
Yeah.
I now feel prepared and competent to celebrate Chinese New Year in my own kitchen without having to use my phone and waiting for the doorbell to ring. There is just one small item missing. It's customary to take a bite of fortune cookie before reading the fortune. And it says, wisdom comes from experience. Both Fanny and Shirley imparted their wisdom and experience upon me. It's time for me to get into my kitchen and get playing with more pot stickers. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.